you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, and I begin with verse 15. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, we're thinking this morning, briefly, the time before us, about the fact that we have no excuses. No excuses whatsoever before Almighty God. You need a new idea, Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was invited by one of the persons called the chief Pharisee to his house to have a meal. And as the Lord was there, they saw people come in and take the most important seats. And so he warned against that. He warned against pride. And then, as we read in the passage, one of the persons sitting there made a statement. He seemed to say it with some measure of ignorance. He didn't mean everything he said was said in that statement, in that verse. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And as the Lord Jesus Christ often does, he takes advantage of that and begins to challenge all those that were gathered at that party. And so the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this great invitation, an invitation to a party. And this would have been one of what we call a dinner, the chief supper, the real supper. And if the person was a wealthy person, that was always a sumptuous meal. And so that was the invitation. And the Lord Jesus Christ will show in this parable how the invitation will be despised by some, and then others will come in. And that will be some of the things we'd want to consider this morning, my dear friends. So I want to first of all look at the first part of the parable that speaks about the invitation going forth, and then the excuses. And so, please, verse 15 there again. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And the Lord answers, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. The fact that this man called so many persons suggests they would have been a wealthy person. So he would bring in so many persons, and because it is a great supper, as it is described, would have been quite elaborate. The meals would have had starters, would have had the main meal, would have had dessert, along with some music and or poetry being told, and then they would have a long period of conversation. And so all this was admirable, something to attract people to come. And so this was a lovely meal, a time to go to have this rare meal with this kind person. And so the man bade his servants to go and call those that were invited, verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. So you would see that there would have been two invitations. The very first one that had gone, telling the people on the date of the party. And the second one would have been on the day itself. When the day had come, then there would be the same servant sent again to tell those persons that they should come. And look at the statement of the servant. Come, for all things are now ready. Everything is there. You are not going there to go and sit down and wait for things. Everything is ready. Only go and eat. That's all you're going to do. You won't pay anything. You go and have as much as you can to eat. And so everything is ready. Ready as a Christo Bube no se. Obi to pono obi a ya pon to as such. No more to be more to suffer be more said. Omombra ni fear a medidi. Na we shall say your canoe. Let us say on yam no. Oye niya na o wo sikanti. Wa friend to be brace on embra. Na or from some be didi e diankasa. Samreno, so be to sa fosa ko e didi briankasa, no so your defua, nkanka wa fre e bimun somumrano. Anyine kra we dia no ebetwa twa so empemiensa yɛdi kan ne ɛbɛ ba yɛwɔde bɛ pepa wɔnum anawɔde ɛsiesie wɔ sɛ duane na nkasa ansana duane na nkasa afei ama deɛ wɔde pepa wɔde wɔdidi wie a wɔde pepa wɔnum no na wɔdidi nyinaa so ne ɛbɔ wɔ ɛnwom ɛka ho ananso obi ebegyina no ɔka wɔ poetry ɔka wɔ anwen nsɛm sɛdeɛ ɛbɛyɛ wo ho bɛtɔ berɛ a wɔdidi no na wowie nso a ɛnyɛ wowie a na wɔresɔre akɔ nea ɔto pon no ankasa bɛtena ase na moabɔ nkɔmmɔ nyinaa mɛtumi aspendi several hours maabɔ nkɔmmɔ saa in fact it was quite attractive because most people would have been ordinary people. A kind of meal like this would have been very, very attractive. To be invited to this would mean that the person has some regard for you. Ni obe obetun sa for so kasadi di no asino. Not just say owo eni di bi emao. And so this would have been a wonderful invitation. Na si atun sa from kofu sa no sa. Anu ni kran in sa tone e ko two times. Di di kan ye. E den wan kasani pa kodi be obe na jim so pese o mana na dan fu fe di anino. Obama wabaka chose, oh, my imagine said Easter that 2 weeks time and I said month time maybe chopono inti bra. And after say then on so swan, ni bribia aye ye no, a fin so non swayadi wakofre and crofo say wo embra. Inti anime krebetun sa afro two times. You've been invited at least two times. And so these persons have no reason to say that they didn't know of the date or the time. So I now come to verse 18 and look at what they did together. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. I see they rehearsed it. That's why the Bible says that they all did that with one consent. Well, you would see in your Bibles that the consent there is in the italics, meaning it's not actually in the Greek. But you see the sentence that it suggested because, look at it there, and they all with one, that's what exactly it states, began to make excuses. It's about how they agreed to make excuses. Did they plan it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ makes us think that these persons, whether they deliberately called the kind of a meeting among themselves to decide not to come, we can't tell. But their excuses run on the same lines. That's why, at least, the Lord says that they did that with one mind. And then, part of verse 18, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I have a new land, and I'm sure you know how this is quite an empty excuse. I've bought a plot of land. I must go and have a look. Well, you could go another day, we say. So this has to do with property. This person was important. His property was important to him. I've added a little more property to myself, and I must go and see how safe it is. So property was important to this man, and for that sake he says, I will not go. I will not go to that invitation to the meal. And then verse 19, we have another excuse. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Oxen were very important in those days. They were your business machine. They were used to transport things or to work on the field. It depends on what you want them for. Oxen were strong animals. And to buy five of them for work means that this man really intended to carry on with his business. So this is a person that business is the reason why he isn't going. The other person is property. The next person is business. He's so important on his business. He wanted to go and try out this oxen and see how they function. Once again, he could have done that on some other day. Why this particular day, my dear friend? So that's the question. Why this particular day? Why does he choose to go on such a day as this? And so, my dear friends, he chooses not to go. And then there's a third excuse. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, as we often say, if he's married a wife, he could go with the wife, couldn't he? And so why? Why think that he cannot go at all? So that that becomes an excuse for him not to go to the meal, or to go to the the party that has been invited to. And so once again, this is a concern about really marriage. In the Jewish custom, God allowed them that if you married fresh, you were given 1 year free from warfare. If a war broke out, you were not supposed to go to the war, at least for 1 year. You could stay at home. The law said that maybe you go to the war and you die. And what happens to your spouse? And so you have a 1 year honeymoon to enjoy. Now, this man seems to take it too far. In fact, you can take your wife to the meal, to the party, and all of them can have a nice day together. But it becomes an excuse. So you see three important excuses. One about property, the other is about business, the other is about marriage. And the Lord Jesus Christ really cuts across all the major reasons that cause people not to come to Him. All the major reasons that cause people to linger and say, no, I don't want to come now. I don't want to come to the Lord now. I don't want to repent. I don't want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and yield my life and heart to Him. And they get occupied with these things. And you know this is so true, isn't it? And so, my dear friends, that's the first part of the parable and the excuses. Don't you see how many people have excuses? Now, this is one of the master excuses that people have. They may hide it. They will not tell you about that. They will not tell you the reason. How many young persons have refused to come to the Lord because he's in a sinful relationship. And it's really a bad thing he knows. And conscience is nudging at him. And he knows that. And so he says, well, not now. I cannot really take the Lord serious now. And he can cite all manner of other cover-up excuses. But the real thing is that he's in a very sinful relationship. He shouldn't be in that relationship. He knows or she knows. Others don't want to come because they become slaves to the pursuit of money. Business has filled the herd. And these days in this country, it's the greatest encouragement to everybody. Money, money. And it's one of the greatest hindrances to spiritual life. And we have to be clear. It is God's will that we all work so that we don't have to be a burden to others, to have enough in our pockets to pay our bills, by all means. But you cannot make them an excuse from putting the Lord first. I don't mean just coming to church, but really saying, my heart will be first for the Lord. You have no reason at all. You know that people, apart from, it goes without, the love of money makes people want property. There's nothing wrong in itself. Or to have a huge business, there's nothing wrong in themselves. The trouble is when they make me not willing to come to the Lord. And they become the chief things in my life. They are the driving influences in my life. They become idols. And I cannot come to the Lord. I cannot yield to Him my heart and my love. And I'm saying, Samuel may ayedie. And friends, let me say, I think I've said this a number of times. You may remember. Usually, Satan is most successful around those things that are legitimate in pursuing them. There's nothing wrong with them. He's often very successful there. If Satan is suggesting to me to go and commit adultery, it's obvious I might not do that. If Satan is suggesting I must go and steal, oh, it's obvious I might not do that. Because some people would do that, we know. But for most people, perhaps you are the person that goes to church. You are a reasonable person, decent person. That will not be the way Satan will get you. He will get you around those things that are legitimate. To pursue them isn't wrong. The trouble is, they become the chief pursuit. I want them than God. I want them than a right standing with God. So that even if they win away my heart from the Lord, I don't even seem to see it. That's the problem with these persons. The Lord Jesus Christ is using that to teach us these things hinder people from coming. And you know why? The reason. Now, these persons will all have been well-off persons because the Lord Jesus Christ told their parable in, not actually a parable, but a challenge, a warning to the person who was running the feast from verse 12. He charged him that when somebody organizes a party, he should not call his wealthy friends. So some of those persons at this party to whom the Lord Jesus Christ told this parable, at least some of them, if not all of them, would have been people who had enough. They were not the needy. They were not the poor. They don't really need this man's meal. They came as a kind of a friendship. And so they could easily dispense with that. Or maybe to me, they are twin chairs and said, and shut that in here alone. And so they could easily make the excuse, my dear friends. And they thought they had excuse. Perhaps you have what seems a different kind of excuse. The Lord Jesus Christ showed that what these people were really doing was to despise the man. They don't like the man. They don't want to go. They don't want to go to him. And what were they invited to? To a meal. Food. Who doesn't like meal times and times of friendship and warm conversation and closeness with friends? Who doesn't like that? Why in the ninja edibie emreho? And emrobenyo adam for some obana mo abon komo kakrara. You thought they would have been willing to go? The Lord Jesus Christ used that to teach us. This is what salvation is about. This is what it means to become a Christian. It's to be brought nearer to the Lord. To have communion with Him. To be made a praying person. Somebody who has the Lord as your God. And to live under His government and smile. To have Him wash away your sins. To have the Lord Jesus Christ bear upon Himself, as it were, the penalty for sin in your behalf. And to know that He's taking all of it away. And that you are now a child of God. This is what it means to become a Christian. Why do people seem to have strange ideas about Christianity? And they think that Christianity will take away their joy and their pleasure and their interests. Is that really so? Is that really correct? Of course it isn't. It's a lie. And they have believed it. Oh, if I became a Christian, well, my life would be a dry thing. It's only home church, home church, home church. And that would be boring. And so they have all these kind of excuses. So they don't want to really turn to the Lord. They will go to church. They'll be somehow interested in church at first, religious at first, but not really interested in repenting and yielding their hearts to the Lord and having Him as the governor and Lord over their lives. They don't like that one. And so, my dear friends, Oh, friends, here is the Lord's warning. Be careful of these excuses. Would you sit down and weigh them and ask yourself, are these real? Why have I not come to the Lord? I've heard the gospel. I've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for needy sinners. I've heard about forgiveness of sins in Him and a new life and a life lived for God. Why have I not come? Why am I waiting? Why? Have you asked yourself this? If you're a young person, you have to ask yourself. If you've understood the gospel, that the Savior invites you to spiritual life and to come to know His love, ask yourself, why? Why am I not coming? Why am I not repenting to seek Him? You may be having some excuses, but we can actually, to some extent, bring them under this. But the bottom line will be because I really dishonor the Lord. I do not like Him. I do not like that fellowship with Him. I do not like that closeness with Him. It's Him I don't like. It's Him I despise. That's what these persons were doing. Neon Pesobe Radi what in quite someone else said. Eraditun sa pray and say Baba sing any bonya for. It sounds the radio secreto nuan kasa ectia bonika. Ewa cavre. No aswa boni aketia ewa nuan kasa nuso amasadi boyin or baba nin chaino. Onishio nwa bit me aye or betri radio secreto nkwa na wabasha say humo brano. Ewa nin chain. And so when a woman pesa wobano, what ya kibia as what catch on was a woman pesa wobano. When in Ninchina, Ninja won pesa wobano said, if I didn't want Casano, no woman in India. And shall we have said within Uncle Pony or what one know, or come up with sign Uncle Pony in India? And then, no turns of frost, a beggar say, woman brings the heavy. And them century fufu being to member, say to me, and friends, the Lord Jesus Christ will show us the Lord is angry at this, my dear friends. Why are you not a Christian? I'm not saying why don't you go to church. Why are you not a Christian? Why do you not have any communion with God? Why have you not tasted forgiveness of sins? So that your sins are washed away and a new heart given you. Why is this not the case? Why is it that maybe you go to church and yet you are not changed? You are the same person. The only thing that is changed is that you go to church more frequently now. The only thing that is changed is about some one or two things here and there which anybody can now with determination change. There's not a mighty work wrought in your soul. Your desires haven't been changed. Your ambition in life isn't gone. The things that you look forward much in life hasn't been transformed. It's the same old one. They've only put on the garb of religion, the garb of Christian things. It's the same person within, the same ambition, the same pleasures, the same things, only religion covers it. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ shows that this is about communion. Christianity is about communion with God. Come and trust Him and look to Him, depend upon Him and look to Him alone for all things. Friends, let me read you this as I move to the next part of the parable. Verse 18. I'll jump very quickly. Never mind. I'm not going back. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And then the first and then the second go on. They all with one consent. They seem to have agreed upon that. They didn't, because this is so common. Excuses. 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 I think of my reason. Friends, I'm going to the next part, but you know something? One of the striking things in life is this. It doesn't matter how noble, whatever noble thing a person may be pursuing. If that thing is threatening his health, every good relation, parents, friends will say, put a stop to that. Isn't it? It doesn't matter how noble. Supposing that person is really studying very hard to become whatever. Well, whilst he's doing that, we all will encourage him because he isn't a lazy student. We'll all encourage him. But supposing the exertion, the amount of stress involved is making that person's health a problem now. Even parents themselves will tell that child, oh, please slow down. Oh, please put that aside, wouldn't they? My dear friends, it's because everybody thinks to have your life whole is far better than to gain anything at all with a very, very destroyed life. My friends, if spiritual life in Christ is real, if spiritual life in Christ is real and not a mere talk, then the moment you see it, the moment you realize the Lord invites me to spiritual life, you say, I'm not going to let anything hinder me. I'm not going to let anything stand in the way. I want to come to the Savior. It doesn't matter what it costs me, because the invitation is so amazing and great, and you want to come. Now, what will the Master do? Please come with me to verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, watch it there, the man was angry. Excuses are detestable before the Lord. God hates all excuses, because an excuse is a branch of a lie. All excuses are lies, because there's something underneath that's only brought up as a kind of a prop, something to stick it up on the surface and say, well, this is the reason, but the person is aware there's really something underneath. And you know why God hates this? My dear friends, I really want to rush on. If you will willfully pretend, excuses encourages you to pretend, they will harden you. God hates it. They will harden you. And God may lead you to yourself. Because it's one thing to face up to what is really in your heart and run away from that. And it is entirely another thing to pretend, prop up an excuse to cover up my real reason. Then that becomes a willful attempt to be insincere. How shall the Lord bless me? How can He deal with me? Friends, as I said, an excuse is a branch of lies. It's a department of the sin of lies. And I mention this to ourselves, my dear friends, because all of us, I'm showing in this country, of course it's now everywhere, because I'm in this country, I'm seeing this. In this country, lies have become the talk of the town. Lies, everybody tells a lie. As simply as we eat. And so lies are everywhere. And people don't realize it's danger. One of the dangers of a lie is that they make you a hypocrite. And the hypocrite becomes hardened against anything that will benefit him from the Lord. The Lord hates the hypocrite because he pretends. And he doesn't really own up. And so God hates it. He hates it out of love. He knows what excuses does to the person. And he hates it because it will hurt the person, because it will disturb the person. And the Lord is surely against that. Friends, I want to go on. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And so the Lord, I beg your pardon, the master of this party went out there and then told the servants, go out there to call those persons in the city to come in, to come to his house and to have the meal. You see the kind of persons he called? Note that again. They go out there and call the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The last three in those days would have been poor also, because they will not be able to have a good job. And then, verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. There's more room there. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So go to the nearer outskirts, and then bring in people. And once there is room, go even further. Go to the hedges, the highways, people who are even farthest from the house. Go and bring them in. Look at this good man. There's room in his house, a huge room there. And he wants it filled. He wants the entire room. You know, we said that the fewer the merrier, isn't it? But this man doesn't want it this way. He wants the entire house to be filled. And so they must go farther to bring every person in. And then they would look at verse 23 there again. A very beautiful expression there. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them. The Greek means that show them the necessity to necessitate. Let them see the necessity of coming. So in other words, they will reason with them. Why should these persons be compelled? You know why? These persons are in a distant place. How can they expect somebody they don't know to accept them in his house, to a party? Parties, we know, are organized for friends and contacts. But these persons are far off. How can they expect to go to the party and be welcomed? And so they would be a bit hesitant. And then also they were poor persons. In these parties, I'm sure you know in one of the parables, the Lord hints that in some of these parties, the person who is organizing the party may even give them free clothes. Nice clothes that may have been sent to them in advance or whatever arrangement that was made. And these persons could look at themselves and say, but look at us. We have not received an invitation, advance invitation, nothing like this. How can we go in? And so the master said, compel them. If they want to resist, try to persuade them. If they say no, try to edge them in. If they say another time, try to let them see the agency. Compel them to come in. Omo mutun safron e di kan omo ambano papa no bufu ye ne kase se se eye nyankopo e bufu se nimpa ebu ni nsato no adiba omo mpeso omo ba irade ho e sam se excuse and as omo ma sin cha hodo no eye enada esubaya nyankopo nchiri enada nyina e sam se nada be ma maye nyatwum ewe nyankopo ni Nia ohunu onu ankesa ni hia ewe ni ankopo wene. No ba shushe hu mobro no. Ni ankopo hu ni mobro. But nia taasi ni se. Nkofebe katasuo se omu ye okay. And so now omu entesa. Ni oti se no. Iradibe di ishran. Onu ohunu sebi ene tibi ati ankesa. Ewe iradi ene. Inti iradi ni bufu ye. Ana ura ni bufu ye. No, ka say sadio monko from mo abontinu embra. They do on buy no a coin that swai were dying mu or si sad monko shrimp for being kaho. No woman who may show no we ain't nya for ni a jano mon show on some umbra. Near cause I didn't say ain't show on. If some say one you may want say, you cry away to do. Papa no your partner, you need no. A bad any alcohol. And to mon show on say, oh umbra, papa no so umbra. And she comes to say, any here for some poor.
Na obi ye omu didi seya obi abesi se na kama kama na ye an hwe kwa se kwa ye kwa boy fifre ni ne ke ne bi ko hoye nti mo hye wo e che se se nti bi onu be won de be mo ho se ni to mo mpese o mo ba no mo nyin fi ho na mo hye wo kwa mo mbra.
Friends, I want to dwell a little on this because you know the Lord does the same thing. Dear friends, if it is in one of our Bible studies, we'll go around the Bible to see so many times. When people feel wonderful in themselves, the Lord despises. They never find His salvation. They may become religious. They may become nice persons. They never become genuinely converted. And because the Lord only brings those who feel unworthy. In fact, He Himself encourages them. When people feel unworthy, it is only the poor, the maimed, and the horse, and the poor are the ones that the Lord Himself is urging them to come. When people feel wonderful in themselves, I'm not saying they say it in their lives. There are people who do that. There are people who are always full of themselves, saying, oh, what a wonderful person they are. Now Jesus Christ gave a parable, a man that can say, you know, I'm not like other persons. It's those persons living that nasty life there, that wicked life they live in there. I am not one of them. And he's thankful before God about that. You know, the opposite. When people are truly saved by the grace of God, when they see people with vile lives, it doesn't make them exalt over them. It melts them more and stand in wonder of the grace of God. Because I read of a preacher, one who was converted, when he was walking on the streets and he saw a drunkard and who had fallen into a gutter, something like that. You know, normally we laugh at the person, isn't it? This man would look at the person and he would turn away and weep and weep and say, oh Lord, if thou hast not saved me, I may have been exactly like that. When people feel their unworthiness, that's when they can come, friends. This is so important. And our time is rushing on. There are people who may not say it with their lips that I'm a wonderful person. It's a sense. It's a feeling within them. And that is a cursed feeling. God sees it. He notices it. He feels wonderful. He feels even like other persons. He feels it's an amazing person. He is. As for him. As for me. As for him. He feels so amazing in himself. Of course, such persons never really comes to the Savior's invitation. They can hardly repent. They can hardly feel sorrow. They have hardly shed a tear about their sin, you can be sure. They can't. They will not, because it is below them. They are too nice to weep over personal sin. How then can they come to trust in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? They may become religious like the Pharisees. They can know everything about religion like the Pharisees. One thing they would never know will be real communion with the Lord. What it means to have your sins truly forgiven and to have the heart changed and to truly, sincerely live for the Lord. To say that my life is not for me, it's to honor Him and to glorify Him. That would be impossible, because it's the Lord who must put that there. My dear friends, yakase sie se eye wonwa omo hunu sedie omo eni eni nyam bia onyankopon eni mpe na omo tumi ba ne nche ye wo bi mu wo ho a omo ankasa mu ko ofo a wo hu e wo won akome mu e bia ye wonwa omo tumi ka won wan no e bi mo dia enye wade kese kra obe tumi jina se wa ke mi me and I would not want him some media when him some media mean yes sir when him some media. A young woman said, and you drew a woman to Takramasu. I'm a chimney for almost there. If you must see your own Vienna, no count, but when I come, or who passed, or who passed it,
It's possible for people to improve their lives by personal determination. Or they can improve outside them by personal determination. On one robbery, especially if he wants respect from others. If you want people to admire him. And for our crotch me, yes, sir.
So my time is rushing on. Ask parents. Sometimes it's that your children grow up and begin to visit aunties and things like that. That's where you begin to see that kind of thing. You have your problem, maybe your daughter, your son may be a lazy one. And when he goes to visit auntie, he wants to work 48 hours. And then auntie calls and said, "Oh, sister, as for your daughter, what a worker she is." And you'll be saying in your head, "Ha ha ha, she doesn't know." Just to impress auntie, because auntie brings in the gifts on Christmas Day, huh? And she wants the bigger ones. If you impress auntie, that little girl can overcome all her laziness when she gets there. We all can, by some selfish motivation, correct a few things outside our lives. That's not what we call conversion, dear friends. That's not what we call salvation. That's not. That's exactly Pharisaism. To become like a Pharisee. When we are converted, only when we see what nobody sees. And our worry is not the outward sins that much. We are concerned about the heart sins. My pride. My selfishness. My love to things. My desire for show. When these things begin to bother, because that's where God sees most. And I'm aware he notices that. If these things can cast me down, the lusts in my heart, the anger, the hatred, the dislike for people that can bubble up there, if these things can truly bow me down, even though nobody knows it, nobody sees it, I'm a nice person outside, and yet I am so ashamed in my own heart. Why? Because I'm aware Almighty God sees. Not the eyes of men, but the eyes of Almighty God sees. That's when I truly feel my unworthiness. And conversion becomes a matter of wrestling with Almighty God to wash me and to change me. Otherwise, it's only become superficial religion, my dear friends, and I can tell you in advance, it will fail. When you are cornered, when things pressure you, you will buckle. And you will show who you really are. And you will show your covetousness. And you will show the pride, and you show the selfishness when you are cornered, because you can't trust in God. You can't really live a life of faith. You can't really show that I depend on the Lord, and I depend on answers to prayer for help from the Lord. You can't. This is given. We don't learn that. This is given by the grace of God when I have come as a needy sinner. Oh, my dear friends, compel them, those who really face up to the unworthiness. It is the Lord himself that helps to come. Because the unworthy person begins to feel, "No, I am not worthy of this God. Why should he receive me? Look at all I've done. Look at the hard sins. Look at my corruption. Look at my pride. This comes as a mountain before me. Why should the Lord receive such an unworthy one?
Yes, it's a new who said in a tibia team quano to me very rather. Friends, this is so important to us. Because you know, we know those who may not go to church at all. And friends, I want to truly, passionately speak to every young person who comes to our Sunday schools and live with Christian parents. This will be your biggest problem. Probably, you may not become an out and out rascal. So you can put on a nice morality on the outside. Coupled with regular church attendance, you can easily think that you are already in the kingdom of God. Please, this is the thing we so fear for you. It has never come to a point of where you don't just say it with your lips. You don't just say, "Oh Lord, I am unworthy." But you actually feel it. You sense it. You know how it looks like? You don't want to make reference to yourself. You are too ashamed. You don't want to draw attention to yourself because you have nothing. You don't want to say, you know, look at me. You see how I am. You don't want to do that because you know you have nothing. You only want to point to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and tell people, go to Him. Come to Him. He only blesses. He only can deal kindly with you. Because you see that you truly have nothing at all. Oh, my dear friends. Otherwise, you make the biggest mistake. And by all means, life will prove you wrong. As you grow up, and life's precious mount, you will show who you really are. Because, friends, as I begin to close, you know, you cannot live to please the Lord unless you know how to live by faith. You know what that means? It means that you live your life in such a way that says that it is only what God has said is true. As if God says that this is foolish, I say it to be foolish. Living by faith also means this. It means that you would entirely seek all your help from the Lord. This is why when you are genuinely converted, you become a person of prayer. You will look to the Lord for help. Friends, you will find yourself in difficult circumstances that may seem entirely overwhelming. And then you will know all your hope will be this. Friends, it will spring up in your heart like that of a genuine child. You would say, but I can pray, but I can tell the Lord, but the Lord can help me. This will just spring in your heart because you are a child of God. That's what happens to a child, isn't it? If you disturb him at school, naturally springs up in his heart, I'll tell my dad. My dad will be here tomorrow. When you are a genuine child, to live by faith, when the pressures of life come, you don't trust your head. You don't trust your own opinions to say, but I will tell the Lord. I will bring the matter before Him. He is my Father, and He will surely be present to help you, my dear friends. Oh, seek Him. Come as an unworthy sinner. Listen to the invitation. Come, repent of sin. Tell Him what you've done. See the heart sins. Not just the outward sins, but the heart sins. And call upon Him now and ask Him to forgive you your sins. Put all your trust in what the Savior did. When you have seen your unworthiness, it becomes so easy to put all your trust in the Savior. Because you realize you have nothing. And once you see that the Lord Jesus Christ came to lay down His life for needy sinners and to bear the penalty for their sins, you begin to say, ah, that's for me too. Because all I have is sin. But that person who never sees his unworthiness will never come to trust Him. He may hear the news, understand it, talk about it, but will never personally
go to him. And so we'll never be personally saved or converted or become a child of God. Oh, my dear friends. So, are we one of those who are on the outskirts? Come in. Come to the Savior. Throw away every excuse. Do you feel unworthiness? It is such persons the Savior invites. Come. Do you say I'm a terrible sinner? Oh, yes. There's room for such ones. Come. It is only such ones that there is room for.